Thank you for joining us for this repertoire podcast. And now your host, Scott Adams.
Hello, everybody. Scott Adams here with Repertoire Magazine. We are talking strep today, given we are in the throes of respiratory season. And honestly, here in Atlanta, we have had an outbreak of strep like crazy this respiratory season. So the timing is pretty good for it. We're talking about optimizing strep testing in the office. We get into everything from rapids and old school, even sending testing out to where we are today, which is PCR testing, which is the best testing on the planet for this type of thing. And we're talking with Dr. Shapiro, who's the managing physician at Associate Pediatrics Partners, about testing in his office and what he's seen. He's done thousands of these PCR tests over the last couple of years. And his main takeaway to me, besides just the fact that this Cepheid PCR test is so easy to do and gives better patient satisfaction, but it is the reminder to our practices, the folks you're calling on out there, to make sure we're not overlooking the typical respiratory things and going straight to COVID, because in a lot of cases, it could be strep or it could be flu. And so I really enjoyed this podcast with him. He's super sharp, super easy to listen to. And here we go with Dr. Shapiro and PCR testing in the practice. Dr. Shapiro, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm looking forward to this conversation with you around testing for strep, and especially testing for strep during the COVID pandemic. So thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
What part of the country are you in today?
I live in Chicagoland. So my practice is in the north suburbs of Chicago, in Northbrook and Buffalo Grove, Illinois.
I imagine you guys get a pretty strong respiratory season up in the Chicago.
We do. And we've had a strong COVID season as well. But things seem to be quieting down at least on the COVID front over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm down in Atlanta today, and we've had strep actually has been rampant here this season. I've known so many people who've gotten strep in the last 3 to 4 months, which in the last few years, you just haven't heard that. It's all been COVID. So it's a timely topic.
Agreed. We've started to see more strep here as well. We've been seeing strep all along, but over the last couple of weeks, as children and adults have started to unmask, we're starting to see strep come back with a vengeance.
Yeah, for sure. Dr. Shapiro, let's discuss kind of the challenges of strep during the COVID pandemic the last couple of years.
Because of the nature of this pandemic, one of my greatest frustrations deals with the fact that many clinicians, many emergency rooms, many treatment centers, anywhere my patients go to get care, often they have blinders on when it comes to COVID. People are so worried about getting COVID or testing for COVID that sometimes they forget that there are other diseases out there as well. It's very important to remember that just because we're in the middle of a COVID pandemic, other infections are not going away. For example, strep's not going away. Even during the height of the pandemic, my practice was still seeing 10 to 15 cases of strep throat a week, with as many as 15 cases a day during peak strep season. It's very important to diagnose strep in a timely fashion, because failure to do so puts the patient at risk. It's important to remember that strep is a prevalent organism. It occurs during the entire respiratory system with peak incidence in late fall and early spring. Another concern about strep that's often overlooked is that it very closely mirrors many other common illnesses. The common symptoms of strep in children are sore throat, headache, fever, vomiting, and stomach aches. But those are also very common symptoms with flu and COVID. When doctors or clinicians have blinders on for only one illness, for example, COVID, very often we're going to miss others. It's very important to test for all likely diagnoses that the child's history and exam justify. Because if we don't test for strep when a child presents with a sore throat or with a fever or with a stomach ache, we're going to end up missing strep just because all we're looking for is COVID. And missing strep can have real consequences.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Two things come to mind for me. When I first started in the industry late 90s, we'd moved from Florida up to Pennsylvania, and I got strep while I was up there in the first fall. And I called the folks I was working for. I was working for a microbiology company selling blood auger plates to test for strep and those types of things. I told them what was going on. And the guy that owned the company says, Scott, you do realize what you sell and that you have strep. You need to go to the doctor and get a test and get on an antibiotic and how important that is to test for that. to kind of along those lines, you know, why does an accurate diagnosis of strep matter to physicians?
Well, first, there's a practical aspect. Strep A pharyngitis, which is what we call a strep throat, is painful. It hurts. You feel sick when you have it, as you felt on your trip or when you traveled. It's easily treatable with antibiotics, but without treatment, it spreads very rapidly through families and through classrooms. In addition, failing to diagnose strep has real consequences. With group A strep, there's a risk of rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease, which is a disease we don't see much of nowadays because of the early detection and treatment of strep throat. But unfortunately, COVID has messed with that because so many doctors and so many clinicians and so many healthcare providers are not testing for strep. We're starting to see a lot of misdiagnoses. As a result of those misdiagnoses, we're starting to see diseases and complications of strep that we almost never saw before. In addition to rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease, kids with untreated strep can have severe tonsillitis. They can have peritonsillar abscesses. These are all serious diagnoses, and most of them are completely preventable with early initiation of antibiotic treatment. The other reason why it's so important is many doctors, and I'm really glad in your case that the friend you called told you to go get a test, because way too often clinicians will just treat strep based on appearance, and that's never a good idea. Because if you're wrong, you're using an antibiotic needlessly. And antimicrobial stewardship, the proper use of antibiotics and saving them for true bacterial infections, is one of the most important things we as doctors can do today to keep the patient healthy and to prevent resistance developing for common infections. So it's very important to make a timely diagnosis of strep, not only for the patient's benefit, but also for society's benefit and for preventing the misuse of antibiotics.
Yeah, 100%. And you kind of answered some of this, but I want to drill down on it a little bit. What happens when strep throat isn't treated?
So the big fear we have, and thank God it's not super common, but in a population the size of America, it happens often enough, would be rheumatic fever. And rheumatic fever, many of us are not familiar with, because in the old days, it was a very common illness. And nowadays, with the easy access to oral antibiotics, we don't see this much. But in addition to the rash and the fever and feeling really sick, it can actually cause painful joints, but most seriously, it can cause heart valve damage, which can be permanent. The other issue is complicated strep throat presents with abscesses. Over the course of COVID, I and my practice alone saw 4 cases of peritonsillar abscesses, all in kids that were seen at treatment centers, all whom were tested for COVID, but no one looked at their throat or tested for strep. And that's a shame, because these complications could have been prevented with a simple test for strep throat. So not treating strep throat has real consequences. But on the flip side, early treatment is so effective. A simple prescription for penicillin, the kid's feeling better in 24 hours, and many times they're feeling better in 12 hours. By the next morning, they're already feeling better, and they're going back to school. So it's really, really important to diagnose strep throat in a timely fashion and to get it done accurately.
Yeah, I had COVID back in December of 2020, so the original variant. When I went into the clinic to get tested for it, I assumed that that's what I had, and the physician came in and he looked in my throat. He goes, "You got strep throat, man. This isn't COVID." And so he tested me for strep and put me on antibiotic immediately. But 3 or 4 days later, the COVID test came back. It was positive for that. But my throat was just so raw, for lack of a better term, that he immediately thought that. So to your whole point to this podcast so far, I'm so thankful he at least tested for that, especially as dangerous as strep can be. So let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about, you know, how are you testing for strep A in your practice today?
So my practice has had a major switch in how we test for strep throat over the past 2 years. Traditionally, for my entire career until the last 2 years, we use the same test which most people use. We use the rapid strep test. A child will come in the office, we look at their throat, it looked red, we swab them for strep. In about 5 minutes, we get a result. If it was positive, we put them on antibiotics. Because we knew that test was not perfect, in fact, its sensitivity was probably somewhere in the 90 to 92% range, we also, whenever it was negative, had to send out a backup culture, which had to go out to a lab, which would take 1 to 2 days to come back.
Yep.
And then we were always faced with a decision, what do we do now? Do we think the kid has strep despite the rapid test being negative because it looks like it? And do we treat them with antibiotics while we're waiting for the culture? Or do we say, no, I think this is viral, the strep test is negative, and wait to see what the culture comes back in 2 days? The real problem is the rapid antigen test simply didn't have high enough sensitivity. Like as I mentioned a moment ago, it's in the low 90s, which means you're missing anywhere between 2 and 8% of cases with the rapid strep test. That delay in diagnosis of 2 days causes quite a bit of patient frustration, because if they do have strep, they now had to suffer for an extra 48 hours of pain and fever and sore throat for no reason. In addition, my staff has to track down those overnight cultures, then record them in the system, let me know. I then have to call the parents, let them know that it was strep, put them in an antibiotic. All this takes time, and all this reduces patients' satisfaction. It'd be so nice, we thought, to have a test result that was accurate that would come back right away. About 2 years ago, we switched to Cepheid's Gene Expert system and started using their Expert Strep A test. Now, starting to use this test has really changed how my practice treats and diagnoses Strep A. We get results in 24 minutes or less. And what's amazing is the test is close to 100% sensitive. In fact, this CLIA-waived test is so sensitive that the FDA does not require backup culture. It's considered to be sensitive enough that you can rely on the results to say that a patient does not have strep if it's negative. Now, of course, if a child is clinically worsening 2 days later, I would repeat that test to make sure. But so far, in the thousands of tests we've run in my office, I haven't had a single negative strep test using Cepheid's Expert Strep A PCR system that has then turned positive days later. So in my practice, we've had 100% sensitivity. The cases that are positive really had strep, and the cases that were negative did not have strep.
That's amazing, especially coming from my background where we were selling microbiology, to the exact point you're making of having to send it out, have it cultured and drop disc on it and all that good stuff for 24 to 48 hours. To get 100% accuracy in a 24-minute test is amazing. For folks who haven't used it, PCR testing might sound a little bit complicated, especially given the way that we've done things in the past, where it required a multi-step process. Can you talk a little bit about the simplicity of it today?
Yeah, it's amazing how far we've come in the simplicity of these kinds of tests. In fact, it takes my staff less work to run a Cepheid PCR strep test than it does to do a rapid test and a send-out culture. You basically swab the kid's throat the same way you always do. You take that swab, you put it in a little solution, you shake it up a couple times, you put a little drop of that into the system, you put that into the machine and you leave it. And 24 minutes later, you get a result. While that's running, my staff can go on and see other patients, do other things. And then the result is saved in the computer as well for future reference. It couldn't be easier. It's simple to use. Training time is maybe 20, 30 minutes to teach someone how to use. Incredibly easy system to use.
You know, given that this test is so accurate and it's easy to learn, easy to use, and it's pretty quick in the practice, you know, what are some key takeaways, you know, that you have for Strep A testing in practices, or some advice that you would give?
To all the healthcare providers out there, even though we have a pandemic going on, please never forget to look for the common simple diagnoses. For example, like group A strep pharyngitis, it's an easy diagnosis, but missing it has real consequences. It's also important to realize that while for the longest time, rapid antigen group-based strep testing with backup culture was the standard of care, with newer technologies, specifically with PCR technology, this is no longer the most efficient way to test for strep. You're going to miss diagnoses and you're going to delay diagnoses by using a rapid test instead of a PCR test, which gives you an immediate result with near 100% sensitivity. That's going to allow you to initiate antibiotics correctly for a patient who actually needs it, and to do so with the satisfaction and the confidence that you actually have a child that actually has strep and therefore needs antibiotics. In addition, it's going to make your practice run more efficiently, because you're not going to have to track down these backup cultures and then call the patients back and make decisions and treatment decisions 2 days later that are different than the one you made on the day of the sick visit. And lastly, by using a PCR test for strep, you're going to avoid the needless use of antibiotics, which improves antimicrobial stewardship, which is something we all very strongly believe in.
Dr. Spira, I've taken a ton of your time already, but I have one last question for you, because you brought it up earlier in the conversation. I think it's very important, especially given today's environment. That question is, you know, how does this affect patient satisfaction? I think that's on the top of everybody's list as we move forward within healthcare across the board.
So it's funny, patients that have to take this test for the first time are always initially shocked that there's no backup throat culture. When I tell them it's negative, okay, I'm going to hear back from you 2 days. I go, actually, no, it's negative. You don't have to hear back from you 2 days. We know definitively your child does not have strep. And then when I mentioned PCR, their reaction is very interesting. You know, prior to 2 years ago, most patients never heard of PCR testing. But now because of COVID, everyone knows the term PCR. And in their mind, they know that PCR means the best, highest quality test out there. So they're very satisfied and happy, not only that they're getting a definitive answer the same day, but in their mind, they know they're also getting the gold standard best test. They're getting a PCR test for their child. So it's actually been really amazing to see how happy my patients and their parents are with this new technology we're using in the office.
It's amazing that over the last 2-3 years, how much some of this stuff has come to the forefront of just the general population and the fact that they know what a PCR test is and that it is kind of the gold standard in testing for diagnostics like this. Dr. Shapiro, I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast today with me. It was very enlightening, and your advice is spot on. I think we got to make sure we're looking for strep and flu and things like that in conjunction with COVID as we see patients coming in during respiratory season. So thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. It was really nice talking today, Scott.
Thank you so much for sticking with us during this podcast. I know you get a lot out of that with Dr. Shapiro and talking about the Cepheid PCR test. I want to just give one disclosure here. This podcast wouldn't be possible without sponsors like Cepheid to help us get these out to you and help educate you on the different things. The support and honorarium fees for the development and delivery of this presentation have been provided by Cepheid and the Speakers Bureau. So again, we thank Cepheid so much for sponsoring this and for being one of our partners. And we hope you guys are having a great week and good luck selling out there. We will be back to you soon with another Repertoire podcast.